For those who remain here in person and on the live stream, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 13 as we conclude our series in this book. It's on page 1010 of your pew Bibles, or if you have the large print edition, it's on 1198. We'll be considering this benediction from the God of peace. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 25. This is God's word. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Let's pray that God would teach us this morning. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks that you are a God of benedictions. Teach us what you would have us know about you and what you are doing in and through your people, that Jesus Christ might be glorified forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever met that person who seems to have a whole bunch of stuff? They've got all the best toys, all the best video games, the nicest cars, the biggest house, whatever. And they can't be bothered to, like, give you a couple bucks or share anything at all. Have you ever met somebody like that? I mean, have you ever been somebody like that? I remember one of my birthdays. I think I was maybe 8 or 9. I got a genuine bolt-action replica of a World War II rifle. And I was very, very excited at my birthday party to play war with all of my friends, because that's what we did. And one of my friends decided he wanted to play with my brand new gift. And it was mine. And it was my birthday. And it was my game of war. Who did he think he was? And he got mad and I got mad. And I still remember that birthday party all these years later, because he got so mad he hit me with the gun, which was about all that it was good for. It was just a pretend thing. Yeah, it's hard to share sometimes. Hebrews has lifted up Jesus as the one majestic Son who is greater than all and who has all glory, all honor, all righteousness. Everything belongs to him. His name is above every name. His status is higher than any one or anything else. And yet, even though he is the one who deserves all blessing, who deserves all honor, who deserves all thanksgiving and praise, what this benediction from the God of peace teaches us is that Jesus is not only the source of all of that, of all the blessing, of all the honor, of all the glory. He's not only the source of it, but he delights to share it. Not only is Jesus the source of all blessing, but he delights to share it. How does this benediction teach us that? Well, the first thing I want you to see is that benediction, it comes from the Lord. See, a benediction, it's not a prayer. It's not something that we give to God or that I give. Benediction comes from the Lord. It literally means good word. It is a pronouncement. Very much like the pronouncement many of you college students are hoping to get after your final exams are now done, that you got the A. That was the best paper I've ever read, right? You want the good grades, pronounced from the prof. We want our doctor to give that good word, but the results are clear. We want our parents to say, great job, I'm so proud of you. We want our boss to not just say nice job, but to give us the pronouncement that the promotion is in. You've earned it. Well done. Benediction, it's a good word of pronouncement. It's the way that God communicates to His people His blessing. This is what the passage we read from number 6 is all about. This is where God said to His people, every time my people gather, every time they gather in my presence, you priests send them away with my blessing. It's not Aaron's blessing. God says, this is how you will give them my blessing. This is how you will put my name on them. Is with a good word. Is with a benediction. It is a pronouncement of God's blessing to His people. And we see that here in this benediction, where God, so often in the benedictions in Scripture, He announces who He is. In number 6, He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. That was His covenant name, the name under which He delivered His people from slavery in Egypt. And here we find Himself revealing Himself to us as the God of peace. The God who is our peace and who has made peace between us and Him so that we can receive His blessing rightly. He tells us what He's like. He's the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He is not just the God who is far off in heaven, King of all, who from time to time looks in on us and taps us on the head and says, good job, keep it up. He's the God of resurrection. He is the God who brings light into darkness, who brings life where there is death. And He tells us what He's focused on. To equip His people with everything good. Everything good. Not the things that we think are good, not the things that we hope are good for us, but no matter how many times the doctor says they're not, not the things that the world says are good. That which is truly, eternally good. He doesn't hold back, but equips His people with all of it. Because He's working in us so that we would be pleasing in His sight. God is communicating the blessing of His nature, of His power, of His presence, of His kindness, and of His love to His people. Because what He's doing in benediction, what He's doing in this pronouncement, not unlike a professor might do in that red ink when he marks the A, He is putting His mark of blessing on His people. He's putting His name on us. That we would be set apart as His treasured possession, that He might overflow to us with everything good that He can give. Where do you look for blessing? It's hard when it's your job to balance the checkbook, not to look at the 401k or the bank account balance and find comfort, or not so much comfort, depending on the day of the week, how high inflation might be, but to find comfort there. Because, okay, it's all right. I've got enough. Maybe we look to our friends. Nobody else listens to us, but we've got those friends and we can just tell them how bad our boss is and how bad our spouse is and how bad, and they can bless us with that listening ear. And we look to them for comfort and peace in our distress. Or maybe we look to social media And if we can just find that thumbs up, just sort of takes away all the other stuff. Maybe we look in the bottle. Maybe we look, where do you look for blessing, for comfort, for peace? What the benediction tells us is that the source of all blessing is the Lord and the Lord alone. And we look anywhere else to our own hurt. The second thing I want you to see is that benediction is received by faith, and faith alone. See, benediction, it's not a mere ritual. It's not just something that God said every time you get together, do that. This is how you know the service is over. When I first became a minister, I was a college minister, and I was working on a secular campus surrounded by different students and faculty of different faiths or of no faith at all. And I was trying to think of a way that I could communicate, because email was all, you know, all the rage. It still is, I guess. There's no end to it. But how I could communicate that I was a Christian in my emails without, like, being heavy-handed to people who were not of like mind with me, so that I could still build relationships with some of the secular members of campus and see what the Lord might do. And I landed on blessings. Who could object to that? Right? That's like, I reject your signature. I don't want your blessings, but just blessings. And it became such a habit, I still do it. If you've got an email from me, it probably says blessings. And if I'm honest, sometimes I actually mean it. But it's kind of become a ritual. I don't even think about it. I remember sending a customer support angry letter to a company that, you know, had done something that I thought was wrong. And I laid out my complaint respectfully, and I almost signed it blessings. That was more of a regards email, I think. It can be very easy to just think about blessing in terms of ritual, routine. The benediction is not just a ritual. You see here that it is something that you can't just tack on to the end of a service and have it be a benediction. It's not something that you can manufacture or conjure up. It's not something that has its origin in us at all. The benediction is all about who God is and what God is doing to and for and in and through his people. And there's nothing for us to do. We can't earn it. God already said, do this. We don't deserve it. I mean, let's be honest. There's nothing for us to do with a benediction but receive it. To believe in the core of our being that this God who created us, that this God who redeemed us, actually loves his people so much in Christ, who shed his blood for us, that he wants to give us good things. You either believe that or you don't. He says he's the shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd. There's no one who can guide and keep and provide for his people the way Jesus does. Not me, not you, not anyone. He's the one doing it. And it's not by our sacrifices or good works. It's by the blood of the eternal covenant. So great and so precious was the blood of Jesus shed at the cross that it has the power to forge a relationship, which is all covenant is, between God and his people that is of eternal value, power, and endurance. It cannot be taken away. He's working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. It's so easy to read this and focus on the, am I doing His will? And as if to just remind us, the author says, because it's God who's working in you to do all that which is pleasing to Him. He didn't leave you on His own. And all of this is through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. All the praise and all the honor and all the glory goes to Him. This blessing cannot be earned. It cannot be manufactured by human means. It can only be received by faith in the God who gives it. This is why it's become a habit of late for many Christians during the benediction to hold their hands out this way. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do that or that you can't do that. But it's a physical way to remind yourself that this isn't just a ritual, although the raising of hands can become a ritual in its own right. But it ought to be a tangible, physical reminder that when that benediction is pronounced, it's not from me. The reason I raise my hands is to remind you that I'm just the minister who's passing on what God has told me to pass on to you. It is from Him, and we receive it by faith. It's hard to believe sometimes that God wants to equip you with everything good. Where do you struggle to believe the Lord? Where are you struggling to know this God of peace? You might be thinking to yourself, my marriage is in utter and complete shambles. How does God want me to have everything good if He has left me here with this mess? And yet there's a benediction there for you that the God of peace can still, in that brokenness, equip you with everything good to do His will and to be Christ in that hurting and dark place to your spouse. Where do you struggle to believe that He is the shepherd of the sheep, guiding, keeping, and protecting you? Maybe you are struggling at your job, or your health is fragile, and you're wondering, if this God is guiding, keeping, and protecting me, why have all of these things assailed me? And this benediction is for you, to remind you that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear that evil, because the shepherd of the sheep is there with His rod and His staff to guide and keep and protect you and see you through to the other side to be with Him forever and ever. Maybe you find yourself struggling just to live out your faith. And you wonder, is there anything in me pleasing to God? I might not know what it is that has beset you. I might not know the burdens on your heart, but you know them, and you know the Lord God knows them, and maybe they have dragged you down into the darkest places, and you are wondering, is this benediction even remotely applicable to you? After all of the things you've done, after all of the things that you've thought or said, and yet He reminds us of the blood of Christ And that this blessing comes not through your good works of righteousness, but through Jesus Christ. We receive this. This good word of blessing. By faith. And we step out afresh and anew to live by that same faith, knowing that our God is with us and His blessing abounds to us, even in the midst of a broken, miserable, wicked, and sinful world. The last thing I want you to see is that benediction is designed to spread. There are whole industries now trying to figure out how to make things go viral and spread. There's even a, you can click on the hashtag blessed, you know, and find all the Instagrams of people showing you, you know, how good they have it. Hashtag blessed. But it's not through electrons that the Lord communicates or spreads His blessing. It's through us, personally. Notice how, after this benediction, he reminds them that He's coming. That Timothy, the same Timothy that we've read about in the New Testament, has been freed, released from prison, from jail. We don't know where he's been held. And they hope to come together to be restored to this congregation. Those who come from Italy, they're sending their greetings. It reminds them to greet those around them. They're to be that blessing to one another. It's relational. It's personal. God doesn't give the blessing as a ritual. He gives the blessing to His people whom He loves. And He gives us that blessing, not so that we would hoard it or hide it, but so that we would be that blessing to the world that needs it. That we would be that blessing to others. Think about how many things the New Testament uses to point us to this reality that the greatest goodness that God can give us is to make us like the greatest good, to make us like Jesus, to restore to us the righteousness and the holiness and the goodness and truth of the image of God in which we were created. And the more He makes us like Himself, the more His blessing abounds to us so that we can be more loving, more joyful, more kind, more gentle, more self-controlled in all of our relationships, the more we can bear the fruit of the Spirit and be like Jesus in this dark world, the more God is exalted and His blessing spreads. Why is it that the God of peace makes us peacemakers? Why is it that the God, that great shepherd of the sheep, would bless us if not to be a blessing? How might you, today, fresh and anew, step in to this world, fragile and frightening though it may be, and be that blessing of God? In your family, to speak words of goodness and love and truth, to offer apology, to demonstrate humility and repentance, Because God has set you free. In our church, how can you be a blessing here? Now is the time where you know I'm going to say something about volunteering for the nursery. Right? And yet, you know, if we all did, you'd do it twice a year. What would it look like for us not to just be consumers of the things that God has gifted us here in our congregation, but to spread and share the goodness? To share what God is teaching you in your small group. To be a good neighbor. To use your gifts and talents to make the world a better place. What does it look like for you to be a blessing? And even if you can do nothing else, you can devote yourself to prayer. That God might work with might and with power in this world to bring His blessings to bear. You know, one thing that isn't stingy is a broken pipe. Some of you have had some of those. I remember cleaning the tub in South Carolina, and I turned off the water, and I still heard water running. And it turned out that the inlet valve to the toilet tank had just sheared off. And in 2 minutes, there was 2 inches of water on the floor of the bathroom and coming down into the kitchen downstairs. Like, once that pipe opens up, it's eager to share everything that it has with you as fast as it can. Because it's connected to that big tower that's full of water. You know what I'm talking about? And it just keeps the pressure on the whole system. And you're going to have to empty that thing into your house before that pipe's or run out and do the shutoff valve. But you're going to have to empty that whole tank into your house before that water is going to stop flowing. As we turn our attention to our glorious God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we receive His blessing by faith, you have to understand, you can't turn that valve off. The reason He commands a benediction be given every time His people gather is to remind them you cannot turn it off. He overflows with blessing to us. And if we're connected to the source of all blessing, how might we also grow in our own delight to share it? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, make us like our Lord Jesus Christ, who delights to share His blessing with those that do not deserve it. May we be a people who rest not in our own righteousness, not in our self-confidence, not in our good works, not in our possessions, not in all of the things that we have, but may we be a people who rest in Jesus, who is the source of all blessing. Give us the strength. Equip us with every good thing that we may step out into this world and do Your will, knowing that You have promised to be working in us to that end. And Lord, may we, as we are connected to You, as we receive Your blessing, may we abound and overflow with it to the world, to one another, and back to You as we bless and praise Your name. We ask that You would do this for the glory of Jesus. Amen.